Good morning. You have your Bible handy in whatever form you have it, whether it's printed or digital. I would encourage you to open to 2 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 1. This message that I've entitled, Grace, It's Free. A Dennis the Menace cartoon I saw depicted grace through a great illustration. Dennis is shown walking away from the Wilson's house with his friend Joey. Both boys have their hands full of cookies. Joey asked, I wonder what we did to deserve this. And Dennis answered, look, Joey, Mrs. Wilson gives us cookies not because we're nice, but because she's nice. The good that comes our way is not because we are good, but because God is so good. And that's grace. And grace is simply unearned kindness. 2 Samuel chapter 9, our passage for today, is the record of an act of unearned kindness. Let's take a look at that. Let's look at verse 1. Now, David said there in that verse, he said, is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Have you ever made a promise and then neglected to follow through on it? Well, let me tell you something. If you've ever done that, if you've ever made a promise and then not followed through on fulfilling that promise, listen, it's better to do it late than to never do it. 1 Samuel chapter 20, if you want to turn there for a moment, keep your finger there in 2 Samuel 9. 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 12 down to verse 16, it reads, Then Jonathan said to David, The Lord God of Israel is witness. When I have sounded out my father sometime tomorrow, or the third day, and indeed there is good toward David, and I do not send to you and tell you, may the Lord do so and much more to Jonathan. But if it pleases my father to do you evil, then I will report to you and send you away, that you may go in safety. And the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. And you shall not only show me the kindness of the Lord while I still live, that I may not die, but you shall not cut off your kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord has cut off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, Let the Lord require it at the hands of David's enemies. Now, in David's day, when someone rose to become king, they killed off all the family, all the servants, and all the allies of the previous king. They didn't want any kind of problems going on, any sort of competition, any sort of nastiness, treacherousness going on. But David made it his business to do God's will and to serve mankind. In fact, in Acts chapter 13 and verse 36, it says, Listen, David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep. Now, I think about the Dickens story, A Christmas Carol, where the ghost of Jacob Marley is talking to Ebenezer Scrooge, and in regret, he blurts out, Mankind was my business. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, we have a picture of God's grace in three acts of unearned kindness. I grew up in Lowell, Massachusetts, and the lifestyle we lived because of my father's lack of responsibility was pretty rough. He worked hard, made a lot of money for the day, but he spent most of it on drinking alcohol and gambling. And as a result, we had very little at home in the family. Often our electricity was shut off. We didn't have gas to cook with. We didn't have heat. We would hover around a wood-burning stove or a kerosene-burning stove in order for heat. My mother would heat up water in order to have warm water to wash with. She'd heat it up on top of that heating stove in order to in a big pot in order for us to have that. I enjoyed going to school. School every day was my escape. And because I was so much into school as an escape, I did really well. I very seldom had any grade less than an A, all the way up from the first grade up through the sixth grade. And then when I went into the seventh grade, there was kind of a change. I made some new friends, and it was the beginning of a couple of years of delinquency. I would skip school regularly. In fact, in my first year in the second grade, and I say the first year because they gave me a second shot at it, in my first year in the seventh grade, I think I attended school about 40 days. What is annually supposed to be about 180 days? Well, they gave me another shot at going to the seventh grade, and I think that year I probably went to school about 60 days. And for whatever reason, they just decided they weren't going to have me in the seventh grade for a third year, and they just pushed me into the eighth grade. And I didn't really do much better. Really got into a lot of problems with the new friends that I had. Tried to burn down a building, lit it on fire, and then stood around to watch the fire trucks come. Used to throw eggs at police cars just so they'd chase us. We stole a car from right downtown, right in front of the courthouse. We hotwired the car and stole it right there in front of the courthouse. I began smoking cigarettes when I was 9 years old. I quit when I was 16, and I had smoked for 7 years. I began drinking alcohol when I was 10 years old. Then moved on to marijuana and speed and LSD. I actually had a really bad experience, a trip, as we called them, on LSD. And friends of mine had to stay with me to make sure that I didn't just mentally lose it in the middle of that. I almost killed a friend of mine injecting heroin into him. I caused a bubble in his vein, an air bubble, and they had to quickly do something with that. So 40 days and 60 days in the 7th grade, and then pushed into the 8th grade. Well, one day I was called to the principal's office, and I was told about this program called Upward Bound. It was a government program where they took kids from an urban setting who they saw had the potential to do well academically, but were not doing well because of social situations. I probably became their poster child. The program, it added discipline, it added organization to my life. It was during the summer for 8 weeks. It was at a private boarding school campus for that summer. It involved academics and sports, athletics, very rigid schedule. And one day, something happened. But I'll come back to that in a moment. I wasn't looking for that. I was okay with the way things were going. I wasn't looking for this special opportunity to go to this school for the summer. I was fine with the way my life was, being a delinquent and skipping school. And I wasn't looking for anything, but I was chosen. I was chosen. And so what I want to do is talk about David from our passage and look at these three things, or four things, three or four things. The first one is that the king inquired of one not seeking him. Like, I wasn't seeking this opportunity for Upward Bound to go to this thing. The king inquired of one not seeking him. Verse 1 of 2 Samuel chapter 9. Now David said, "Is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they called him to David, the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" And he said, "At your service." And then the king said, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?" And Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan who is lame in his feet." And so the king said to him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said to the king, "Indeed, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodebar." Notice what David did here. He sought an opportunity to do good. Because of Jonathan. He sought to do good for a friend, for Jonathan. And he sought to show kindness, the kindness of God, for his friend Jonathan. Saul was David's sworn enemy. And yet, he would show kindness. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44 commands us to do several things with our enemies. Love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. But you see, even though Saul was David's sworn enemy, Saul's son, Jonathan, was David's sworn friend. You see, we never know what is in store just around the corner. That summer program was a changing point in my life. In many ways. I was lifted, just lifted, out of a bad situation and placed there. I was taken from the life that I was living that was taking me further and further down into trouble and delinquency. And I was lifted out of it and placed into a setting of structure and organization and discipline. The king inquired of one not seeking him. Second, the king blessed one not deserving it. Look at verses 5 through 8. See, I didn't deserve what I got. I deserve punishment for the way that I was living in the lack of responsibility, the lack of paying attention and going to school and doing all the things I was doing. I deserve punishment. I didn't deserve what I got. In verse 5, David sent and brought him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodebar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. And then David said, "Mephibosheth?" And he answered, "Here is your servant." So David said to him, "Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake." and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather. And you shall eat bread at my table continually. Then he bowed himself and said, What is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I? Here is a picture of grace. David was delighted to see him. He even remembered his name after many years. He was 5 years old when Jonathan died. David told him not to be afraid. He probably feared the king's wrath because of Saul. Now he knew. He would have learned what happens when a new king rises. But instead of receiving what happens to the families of the old king, he received mercy. He was shown mercy. David restored to him the inheritance of his father and took him in as one of his own family. And what was Mephibosheth's response? He was grateful for the unearned kindness. Yet, while he knew he was the son of the former prince, the grandson of King Saul, he also knew that his family had been disinherited. He referred to himself as a dead dog, revealing, well, a humble heart. Those who humble themselves, God exalts. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. The king inquired of one not seeking him. The king blessed one not deserving it. And then third, the king fellowshipped with one not his own. Look at verses 11 through 13. Then Ziba said to the king, According to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so will your servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all who dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table. And he was lame in both his feet. Now the place I went for this summer program, Upward Bound, these 8 weeks, it was private boarding school that was the educational place for the very, very wealthy in America and in other parts of the world. At the time that I went there, it was ranked number one academically in all private schools across the country. Only 200 students. My graduating class had 40 students. The average class had only 10 to 15 students in it. I had two tutorials, just me and the teacher. Listen, in that type of an environment, for one who had become irresponsible like I did, you had to work. 10 to 15 students in a class, you're going to get called on. A tutorial with just you and the teacher, you got to do your work. You got to be ready to talk and discuss. The counselor that I had that summer, he came to me and he asked me a question. He said, Eric, how would you like to attend this school? Wow, that'd be cool. Sure, I'd love to come to this school. I thought, hey, it was a great place. The experience I was having, that would be a great place. And that was it. Nothing was said anymore. And then after it was all done, a couple of weeks before school was to begin, I got a call from the admissions office of the school. They asked, the admissions director asked if I could come in for an interview. So I went in there with my parents, and a 15-minute interview, didn't take any exams, and this school had entrance exams. On a typical year, there was about 600 people who applied for about 60 openings in the school. And I took no exam. I had a 15-minute interview, and then I was told to show up for class. I received a full scholarship with an expense account in order to purchase clothing, textbooks, athletic gear. I lived there for 5 years. I repeated the eighth grade because they felt that my situation, having failed in the seventh grade miserably 2 years in a row, and then just really not getting it done in the eighth grade either. So I repeated the eighth grade. I graduated when I was 20 years old. But I sat at the king's table. David said, "He shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons." David had no obligation to do this. It was his love for Jonathan that prompted his action with Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth. Consider God's action toward fallen, sinful mankind. God was under no obligation to show love to mankind. Man rebelled against God and forfeited his favor. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life by Christ Jesus. Jesus inquired of fallen man who didn't seek him. He restored the forfeited inheritance of eternal life. Man can now enjoy fellowship at the Father's table as a son. Come to the altar. Come just as you are and receive God's offer of salvation. Do you know him? If you do know him, are you surrendered to his lordship? Would you come and pray? The free gift of God is eternal life by Christ Jesus. Because God loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. We need to believe that Jesus went to the cross and died for us, and that he rose from the dead. And we shall be saved. And we just need to reach out and ask God, "For all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the testimony of your servant David as he sought to fulfill the commitment that he had to Jonathan by blessing Jonathan's son and restoring to him everything that was lost all the way to his grandfather, Saul. And Father, I pray that you would reveal to us your love for us, the commitment that you've made to us. And Father, I pray that if there's anyone watching or listening to this message, that they would be convicted of their relationship with you. That they would receive this grace. That they would receive this salvation. And that they would serve you in the context of that grace. And Father, we just commit it all to you in the name of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and for his sake. Amen. Amen. You have a great day.